CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. What is today? It's the 24th of June. Almost the end of June. My God, it's July. Oh, God. Oh, God. How many months? It's 90 days that we've been in lockdown. How much is that in months?
3 months.
3 whole months, right? Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Three whole months. Oh, my God. All right. Well, this morning we are joined by Sia Sangweni and by Mbulelo Tinta and by Damon Calvary. Yes.
Good morning.
Those people who've been missing out on Damon Calvary for the last couple of days, you're in luck. Today he's here and he's willing, he's unable. He's able.
Oh, it's not luck.
No, he's able.
Luck. Gord cancelled the game.
And Damon. No. We don't only call you when Gord cancels. And he's wearing a Naomi Calvary original, I see, this morning. I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
Yeah, you know, as one gets older, I become more conservative, and I use it mainly for sleeping in winter. I don't go out in public as much as in former years.
Nobody goes out. This year, no one's going out in public, so you're not alone.
Well, you know, on the odd occasion when you go shopping.
Yeah. So, Damon, the jersey is slept in, is it?
Yeah, no, I haven't changed. I'm still in my pajamas.
You sleep in a jersey?
Well, I've got two long sleeve shirts underneath as well. Cool. And to be very honest with you, I've been in these same clothes. This is now probably the fourth day.
Wait, for a 4 day long stretch.
But I've changed pants. I have changed pants. Last night I was standing next to Bernice and she went like this and she said, "You need to do something."
Oh my
so
God.
I went and I showered and I washed up, but I put the tops back on.
Ugh.
It's lockdown.
Wait, you said shower like you hadn't done that for 4 days as well as
No. I shower every day.
Damon, don't you feel like, because you, even if it's winter, you sweat a little bit and you know, you know your skin is a living organ that is constantly sloughing off cells, and I mean, it's pretty gross being a human being. Now, I'm not by any means saying that you need to be one of those people who changes your clothes 3 times a day and showers 4 times a day or any of that. But you do realize it's rather insanitary for you to be putting on the same clothes for 4 days.
First of all, it's not. I don't do it in continual cycles. Like, I think I might take this off today. But also, I learned from Marie Antoinette. I learned from Marie Antoinette and her contemporaries. I do a lot of fragrance. I spray a lot of fragrance on me.
Well, luckily, that's your business. So.
Yeah, so I use my stuff.
But you know, they did that because they didn't bath every day.
No, well, they didn't bath, I think. What did they do? Every 3 months? What did they do?
Yeah, it was a long time between baths.
As the guy chopped off Marie Antoinette's head, he took a step back.
Oh.
History doesn't tell you these things.
But you are the oracle that knows it all.
Those are the clean people. Can you imagine how the poor people lived?
Oh, good Lord.
They didn't even have the fragrances to pour on.
Oh, dear. Didn't they maybe jump into the river every now and again?
They couldn't swim. Nobody swam in those days.
Oh, okay.
Well,
sure.
Yeah, it's gross. All right.
Gross.
So many things to catch up on with Damon this morning.
Well, let's not make it all about me.
No, well, it's usually a nice occasion for us to find out what you've been up to.
Okay. You hear no barking. No barking in the background. Do you hear that?
Why? What have you done?
I've done nothing. It's my neighbors. Thanks to the colder weather, they're not going out and they're not walking their dogs or walking themselves at 6 o'clock in the morning. So now my dogs are calm.
Okay, I got you.
You see, different patterns.
Very good.
Yeah, what a pleasure, eh? But from 7 o'clock, bark, bark, bark. Or maybe a bit later.
So, Damon, have you taken up a role at Black Lives Matter yet?
I don't do an actual role. I mean, I support it. And I'll agree and like and retweet if I see a nice Black Lives Matter comment or post, but I don't get like stuck in, you know.
I want to blow my nose quickly. Hold on.
I'm not getting stuck in at all. I'm not getting stuck in. You know, I was in the struggle. I did my bit.
What struggle?
Ah, good question. So
I feel like you were waiting for that.
I know. So no, I was looking. I said it in jest. I was just joking, but I did my little bit. Like when I was at school. This is like 1986. Mm-hmm. I had a big thing, abolish apartheid emblazoned on my school bag. And I think that was in those days.
I missed all of that. What were you talking about?
Oh,
Gaymon's days in the struggle.
Oh.
No. I was just pointing.
I want to point you out to a book that I've been reading, and I only just started it, but it's really fascinating. It's called White Guilt by someone called Shelby Steele.
Mm-hmm.
Shelby sounds very guilty.
No, I mean, this is an interesting book because actually this person goes into the whole psychology behind, you know, the kind of wokeness that we're seeing in white liberals across the world right now, which frankly black people do not care about, and which is all self-serving, totally self-serving. The people who put up a black square on, you know, Blackout Tuesday or whatever it was, these people who are constantly trying to find new ways to appear to be anti-racist, that are disassociating from everything that Black Lives Matter tell them to disassociate from. You should look up this book. It's really, really interesting because I think, you know, he's a great American author. He's a conservative, but he's also a senior fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institute. He specializes in the study of race relations and multiculturalism and affirmative action. And you need to read this book.
Okay, no, I hear you, Gareth. But while you were getting blown, I was telling the guys.
I was blowing my nose, let's be clear.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when I was in Standard 7, 14 years old, I had on my suitcase in big black letters, abolish apartheid. So was I being woke?
Yeah, you were being woke, but you were.
But woke seems like a negative connotation.
It is a negative connotation because really it's not doing anything for black people. And you're not helping anyone except yourself. You're getting some – you're trying to
give people attention.
Yeah, you're covering yourself in glory. You're trying to make yourself look like, hey, black people, I'm a good white.
Okay, then. So, in hindsight, what should I have done, Rob?
No.
Should I have dropped out of school, joined the ANC underground, gone to Zambia?
No.
I mean, I was 14. What must I have done?
No. All I'm saying is that a lot of this stuff, it comes from a very deep place that people are very unable and unwilling to acknowledge, and it's right that you should have expressed yourself as a child, but at the same time, it was probably futile. It did nothing to aid anyone's cause except the Damon Calvary cause. Because what you were doing, as many kids do, and I used to do this as a kid too, because I used to put political slogans on and, you know, talk about politics during break time and all the rest. All it is a "this is who I am" statement. And it's got absolutely nothing to do with the people you're expressing solidarity towards. It's a soft selectivism. Which is these days made a lot harder by social media and for young people. Yeah. And for young people today, it's a way to show how good they are, what nice people they are, how they are the ones that can be trusted. I'm an ally to trans people or black people or women or Muslims or whoever it is that you're trying to cozy up to. But actually, they don't care and you aren't doing anything.
Yeah,
I'm a selectivist, Gareth.
I don't think it's made it harder. I think it's made it easier for you to fall into a selectivism category nowadays because there's the information age, and you just go into your keyboard and you push send, and that's it. You are now with the cause. Yeah, in inverted commas.
Now you're one of those. But actually, to the people who are in the cause, you know, George Floyd's family, or to the people in America who are fighting actual problems and discrimination and something that's a serious issue to them, you are neither helping nor taking away from the cause. You may as well have never been born to them. You make no difference to their lives.
I heard an interesting phrase being used after it first started with Don Lemon from CNN,
yes,
who went on air and started calling out different celebrities and black celebrities, saying, "We need to hear from you right now."
Oh,
he said, "Oprah, where are you? And, you know, Michael Jordan, what more are you doing?"
And then was Dave Chappelle in his recent Netflix special who commented on that, saying, right now is the streets talking, in his way of phrasing it.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear from anyone else. The people who are protesting and who are taking action, they are talking for themselves. Right. So they aren't waiting for someone else to hashtag, or they aren't waiting for anyone else to do anything. But and I thought,
that is typical of Don Lemon, who is a celebrity. He's in the elite. He's got a really cushy job on CNN. And he wants to co-opt everyone who isn't on his side to his side, because he obviously feels he's not strong enough on his own. But the reality is, this is not Don Lemon's fight. The people who are the people who are really angry in America or in South Africa or anywhere else are not people who need Hollywood's say-so. They don't need Hollywood's support. In fact, that's so patronizing to imagine their voices aren't important enough until some celebrity steps in. And I see so much of this on social media, it just drives me crazy, because it's fake. Even if those people do genuinely care about things like Black Lives Matter or whatever else it is that they're behind, it's just fake. And more, I'm starting to see through these things, and I'm seeing them for what they are. They are self-serving, mostly young white people who are trying to be the most anti-racist of their friends. I'm the one who's the most woke. And it's such nonsense, because it's doing absolutely zero for the people who you supposedly are allied with. And I just think it's deeply disingenuous.
But once again, from me, it goes without saying that it doesn't mean their heart is in a bad place. Good for them.
Sure.
But the sad reality is, doesn't make a difference.
You're doing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the reality.
You're doing absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Zero. Nobody cares.
Not doing as much as you think you're doing, but are you really doing absolutely nothing?
You're doing less than nothing, because no one would notice if you didn't tweet that.
What am I going to do now with the rest of my day?
Well, exactly. This is the point, right? Is because for most of these slacktivists, that's the only thing that makes them feel like they've got a purpose in the day. And actually, I'm telling you now, your purpose is pointless, because no one would care if you were alive or dead when you say nothing like that.
Let me play a bit of the devil's advocate. For someone who says, well, you know, it started a conversation on my Facebook status. And,
bullshit.
You know, my aunt sees things in a different way.
It's an argument. Hang on, Gareth. And those things never end with anyone changing their mind.
But hang on, Gareth. You're the one who's... Oh, shut up. You're the one... Sorry, talking to my dogs.
Hey, dog lives matter.
Dogs love... I was just... You're the one who always said years ago, and maybe you've changed your mind on this, that social media, Facebook, Twitter, etc., we're all now broadcasters, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so how is what I do or other people do on their Twitter different to, say, what we're doing now on your show now? So what?
Okay,
so you think we're all disingenuous? Think we're all disingenuous?
No.
What's the difference?
There are good broadcasters and there are bad ones. You're the first one to admit that, right?
Well, yes. So I'm a bad woke tweeter.
Yeah.
No, Gareth, I'd rephrase that.
I'm sorry. It's true. You're always telling people how they could improve, and you're right, including
Damon, I'd rephrase that. I would say that the only difference is a bigger platform. But if you feel that you are making a difference to the 2, the 12, the 24 people who see your status on Facebook.
I'm saying no, that period is over now. We've experimented with that in social media, and now it's over.
Sure.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Can I read a tweet that I did, and you must just judge me?
All right, go.
Okay. So there was an article in the Sowetan. Leon Schuster says he's shocked what has happened, what MultiChoice has done with these films, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's shocked and he's going to investigate it, and he doesn't understand why. So I said, Leon, so I'm talking to Leon. Leon, rather say, you know, I thought it was funny at the time, but in hindsight, I was wrong. And insensitive, to say the least. I humbly apologize and understand why my films have been removed by MultiChoice. There, try that. So I'm a woke prick.
But first, you're woke and you're wrong.
And
because,
I'm wrong.
Because who are you apologizing to? In order for an apology to mean something, you have to have done something intentionally nasty, right? You have to have wanted to inflict.
Not intentionally.
No, not at all, Gary.
Intention. This is very important because intention is part of hate, right? If you're going to accuse someone of a hate crime or you're going to accuse them of doing something really awful, their intention is absolutely paramount. Even in a murder.
Maybe you'd learned that in your first year of varsity while you were running between Paxton and your left. But no. Very often people do evil and they're not doing it intentionally. That happens all the time.
Intention is it's an element of every crime, including those supposed crimes of offense, which are not actually crimes because offense is not something that really can do any damage. Well,
no one's saying that Leon Schuster committed crimes. No, they're just saying that his movies are insensitive.
Then you don't apologize. There is nothing for him to apologize. He made an article of entertainment which has aged badly. I was never a big fan of Leon Schuster's movies. I'm still not. But the fact that you say he should apologize, first of all, to who? And second of all, for what? This is massively important. If you're going to apologize and it actually means something, and you can't answer those two questions, your apology is absolute hot air.
Apology? I just apologize for being insensitive.
Why? He's not being insensitive by the standards of the day that he made those movies.
By the standards of the day?
I was around. You used to watch them.
No, I was around in those days, and I hated those.
Hello.
he muted himself by mistake. You're back now, Damon.
You were around in those days, and you hated them. Well, okay, so you didn't like them. So now, should he apologize to you?
He should just apologize in general.
To who? It's very important. Hold on. This is, Damon, this is so important because now you're being woke again and not thinking this through. Who are you apologizing to?
Just apologizing to everybody in general.
That's bullshit. No one apologizes to everyone for something that they're not even sure offended everyone. He doesn't owe me an apology.
Okay, then when Leon Schuster says, I'm shocked at multi-choice's decision, who is he saying he's shocked
to? Because multi-choice are a bunch of woke wankers. You know this. You've dealt with them. You remember when we were dealing with them. Are you telling me that those people have pure intentions or are they trying to virtue signal that they're good people? They're trying to show, well, we're going to ban these Leon Schuster movies or remove them from Showmax because we're much better people than the people who laugh at Leon Schuster's movies in South Africa are the most successful movies ever. And that includes for black audiences and colored audiences. Do you know that, right?
I knew that.
He's the most successful movie maker in South Africa. It's a
sad indictment.
Well, maybe it's a sad. Maybe it's not a sad. Correct, Sia. Thank you. Maybe it's not a sad indictment on Leon Schuster. It's a sad indictment on South Africa. So now you must apologize to South Africa for not being as woke as Damon Calvary.
Well, why is he shocked?
Because it's shocking to him that his life's work. Imagine if I told you everything you'd achieved up to now in your life was actually embarrassing, and we were going to remove it from the record. You don't think that's shocking to him?
No, but hang on. In the context
in the world, I erased Damon Calvary's contribution to, for example, my show, something I'm very proud of, right? And if you listen to one of our 5FM shows from those first 3 years, you'll be horrified at the stuff that we were joking about and laughing about. Horrified. I guarantee you, you'll be embarrassed and you'll feel awkward. Now, I must go back and erase all of those shows from memory. I must talk to the 1 million, 2 million, 3 million eventually people that had listened to our show every day. And I must apologize to them for not having been the person I am now because I've learned things along the way. And I must be embarrassed about our record, and I must say, well, it's Damon's fault. Damon must be erased from history.
Yeah, but
and you wouldn't Gary, be shocked. You wouldn't be shocked? Come on.
Okay, can I say this?
But your example is a weird example. There isn't a catalogue of our shows where people can access those old shows, like multi-choice.
It doesn't matter, even if it's in your head, Damon. You've never watched Leon Schuster. So how would you know that he's offensive if you've never watched his movie?
No, obviously, I have watched.
Sia, you wanted to say something?
So tell me if this makes sense or doesn't. As much as all of these incidences are interlinked, it's a bit of a chain reaction. The movie, the response to the movie, and now what Showmax and MultiChoice are doing. I still do think we need to look at each of these cases individually as much as they're interlinked. So first and foremost, with the movies and whether or not people are offended by it. Gareth, I disagree with you. I think you can apologize even if it wasn't your intention to. How many times have you heard that in a fight where you can walk away and you still don't get why someone is so pissed at you, but you go, I'm sorry for making you feel that way.
That's fine, but then what you're doing is you're trying to make them feel okay, but you're still not really, that's not a sincere apology. Because if you don't
Mbulelo,
you know what I'm talking about. If you say sorry for something and you're not sure what the thing is that you're sorry for, and you're not sure why you're apologizing to that particular person, it's not an apology.
Well, there's two things at play. So intention is only important to the offender. So we must be very careful to whitewash it and go, intention is not important, or it is important. It only matters to the offender, because as the offended, I don't care what your intention was. I'm just as hurt. So for you to try and ease your guilt by saying, I didn't intend to, that's not important to me. I'm just as hurt. I'm just as offended. I'm just as oppressed. So we need to separate that from what you're saying about the apology. Absolute,
that's horse shit. Because if you're going to hold someone responsible for something, you actually need to get into their head for a minute. You need to be respectful, which is the point of people who are not respectful and who are offensive all the time on purpose. They're trying to be offensive on purpose, then for them to apologize to you means nothing, because they were trying to offend you on purpose. If they didn't mean to offend you and they said something that did offend you, that's because you're a sensitive schmuck who needs to stop being so frightened. And you need to deal with this like an adult human being by saying, if your intention was to hurt me, then fuck you. And you don't want an apology from a person like that. But if their intention was not to hurt you, they shouldn't be apologizing for something they didn't intend to do. Don't you think that's important?
What does an apology mean to you, Gareth?
Okay, apologies mostly don't mean a lot, because I think a lot of people and this is the truth, because mostly people say things like that just to make the other person feel better, which is as bad as saying something just to make someone feel worse.
Yes, but once again, you must separate, because just saying intention is everything is not true. That's absolute nonsense. But that doesn't mean just because somebody is offended, it doesn't make them right. You must separate those two things.
Absolutely.
So don't say, just because I didn't intend to hurt you, you can't be hurt. But now, when you are hurt, let's observe. Are you objectively correct to be hurt? That's two separate things. Don't conflate the two.
But then we are on the same page, essentially. Because
you're telling me
because you're hurt doesn't make you right. And I'm saying just because you've offended someone doesn't make you wrong.
But it also doesn't mean you must erase it by going, oh, I didn't intend to.
I want to get back to the Damon and Leon Schuster conversation before we get to headlines.
Okay.
So here's Leon Schuster. He's spent his entire life trying to make people laugh, right? And he's made a fair amount of money. He hasn't gone to Steven Spielberg levels, but he's made some good money, and his movies have done well in South Africa and internationally. He is by far our most successful movie maker in history. Okay, now, because the stuff that we laughed at during the 80s and 90s is suddenly unacceptable to the people of the tastes of 2020, and Showmax go and cancel his stuff and remove it, which I think is to their own detriment, frankly, because what happens when you ban these things or when you delist them is that their sales go sky high. And this is probably what's happening right now. I mean, when a book is banned on Amazon, people order it everywhere else. When you ban a TV show, people can't wait to see why it was banned. You know, there's a curiosity around it. So it's probably ending up working for Leon anyway.
But are guys standing on street corners with DVDs under their jackets? What are they doing?
There are a number of ways that people can get this stuff these days, and it's not all legal, and it doesn't necessarily pay him at the end of the day, but it's probably flying off the shelves now because people who've never heard of Leon Schuster, including people under the age of 20, for example, who have why would they have heard of Leon Schuster? He's not a big deal to them. But
He had a movie about a year or two ago that's quite recent.
Now, I agree with you that it's not my style of stuff, but he doesn't owe me an apology, and he doesn't owe black South Africans an apology, and he doesn't owe colored South Africans an apology. He doesn't own any.
There are some black and colored South Africans who feel like they deserve an apology.
I said it in the context of him making a comment saying that he was shocked.
And I've just said to you, you wouldn't be shocked if your entire life's work was thrown aside by the biggest pay-per-view service in the country.
But in the context, what is on in the world?
You don't think that affects his income?
How can he be shocked? This means that he's not following what's going on in the world. How can he be shocked? It was surely coming.
He's
taken into context of what's going on.
Maybe he's shocked by how the attitudes of people today and cancel culture today, which is what it is suddenly affecting him. And he was sitting there going, I'm going to make a movie. Maybe I'll make another one next year. And then all of a sudden, this cancel culture comes to his door. But Garrett,
that's like some 92-year-old ex-Nazi in Berlin upset that she can't murder her Jewish neighbor today. I mean, oh my God, this cancel culture is so terrible. Oy vey.
So you bring up the Jews.
No, but that's an extreme example.
The Jews have never pulled down a statue. They've never said, block this piece of history out. The one thing the Jews are so good at, and I want to give credit to Jewish people all over the world, is they're good at remembering. They're good at remembering their own history. They're good at remembering ugly incidents like the Holocaust, painful as those are. And they're good at conscientizing other people in the world to their stories. There isn't a person in the world who doesn't know a Jewish story, whether it's the Bible, whether it's Jesus, whether it's the Holocaust, and that is terrific work. 100 points to the Jews. Everyone else could learn from that instead of canceling shit because it doesn't feel good. The rest of us should learn how to teach other people our stories. And
are there statues of Hitler? Are there statues of Hitler in Germany?
No.
Or anywhere?
No, and I think that that's probably a good thing, but I don't think...
You think it's probably a good thing?
I think it's probably a good thing, but I wouldn't have a problem with a statue in a park of disgrace. I mean, the statue's of Stalin up somewhere, and he killed more people than Hitler. How do you judge this stuff? I mean, must we only have statues of good people? Because then no statues will survive. Everyone has got flaws.
You're conflating two different things there. Russia and Germany happened in two completely different contexts.
Let's not argue about the merits of history here, Mbulelo, because I'll pick up the club that you've put down and beat you with it. This is about history and statues, and the fact that no human being is so good that they will forever be held in high esteem by every successive generation. We are the products of history, as imperfect as it is. And there are statues to Stalin up all over the place, and there are no statues to Hitler, because we had a consensus after World War II, in which, by the way, Russia was one of the victor nations, not a loser nation. And as a result, the rules for Russia were different for the rules for Hitler. You know, the history is written by the victors.
And I think we might be getting lost in all of these.
If Hitler had won, the only statues that we would have are of Hitler. And we'd all be speaking German. Probably Damon wouldn't be on this call with us this morning. Do you understand? Yeah, so these are serious repercussions and consequences of the way that history moves. And what we'd like to do in this cancel culture, which is driving me insane, you know, I told you about the Buddhas of Bamiyan. Damon, you remember those shows where I was furious with the Taliban.
No, and you were talking about it recently as well. But the thing is, Gareth, you got to get a balance. You're taking this cancel culture term and you're being completely dogmatic and there's got to be a healthy balance. You can't just criticize and just completely say that it's that you can't have it at all.
And I think what's frustrating,
there are instances where certain symbols perhaps need to be put away.
I think what's also frustrating you, Gareth, is the fact that there's no one size fits all solution to all of these various contexts. We'll just have to deal with it case by case.
Well,
and what I'd like to believe people are wanting to say in this Leon Schuster context specifically is just to get accountability to say, okay, so sure, we made the movies, they were fun. I did it with pure intentions as well. I understand that now we move on, we know better, we do better, we think better as society. Hey, look, okay, sure. I'm sorry if that has offended you.
That's exactly where you go off the reserve. And I don't even know if we're going to get to headlines after all of this, because this is... But people are enjoying it, so let's just finish this conversation quickly.
Okay.
Okay, he doesn't have to apologize to a damn person. If you don't like his movies, do what Damon and I do. We don't watch them. Everybody's happy. Look at that. Isn't that an incredible solution? Instead, we're expecting him to account for himself. If everyone is... What's that?
My principle is I can apologize to you, just not to sacrifice or compromise my own values or views, but in just for peace and moving on.
That's fine. Then apology doesn't mean as much to you as it does to some. If I'm going to seriously and sincerely apologize to you for something, it actually has to be for a specific thing. Like, Sia, I'm sorry I stole your pencil case. And then I'm apologizing to Sia for the one action, the actual thing that occurred that I feel bad about. That's an apology.
But look at the act and the process of the TRC in this country.
Yes, and there were specific cases, and that people had to account for themselves. They had to say, when I killed your uncle and we buried him here, and this is where we're going to go to dig up the body, and they did in very many cases.
Mm-hmm.
People, it wouldn't have helped. Imagine if Adrian Flock, that useless minister of police we used to have, did what he did and just washed some guy's feet, and he thinks that somehow cleansed him of all his ills. I mean, he did that, right? That didn't help anybody. Maybe it, for a temporary time, made the feet of the guy whose feet he was washing a little cleaner. Otherwise, it did nothing for the healing of South Africa. And it's pure symbolism and performative. What mattered was people who actually admitted to that, people like Eugene de Kock, who went to jail for some extended period of time, some say not long enough, for actual murder of people. And then he had to list the people he murdered, which he did. He apologized to each of the families. He told them what had happened. And that kind of thing means he's going through that heart-wrenching process of dealing with his own guilt. And it's real. And it's not a performance, because he did it behind closed doors to people. Many of the families that he apologized to, he ended up communicating with regularly. I don't think an apology is some promissory note to give away in order to assuage your own guilt. An apology has to be something for the other person who you've hurt. Otherwise, it is worthless. It's not about making you feel better or peace. An apology has to actually help the person you're trying to apologize to. Otherwise, why do it? Just for you. Selfish motivation, purpose is completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, listen. Too many times, sorry is about the person apologizing. I couldn't disagree.
And let me tell you, in a world where there is a lot worth apologizing for, where we all are hurting each other in real ways, for some guy who made movies that are absolutely silly, maybe insensitive, maybe very offensive, for him to be apologizing for movies in a world where we have real problems is just so vapid, pointless.
But even if we put our problems in a hierarchy, the point is, even if his movies might be the smallest portion, the point is there are still some people who might deem it insensitive or offensive.
Then stay away from his movies is the best advice I can give you. There are lots of things, movies, songs. I don't go to the theater very much because I find the theater dreary. Therefore, I don't complain. Imagine me not going to the theater and then writing letters to tell them to please stop putting on plays.
And the reason why we are even talking about things like this, that even in the news, we're getting this moment in time, is because it's not just one person who deems, don't like the theater.
Lots of people.
It's tons. And so I think there's merit in paying attention to that.
Here's the point too. Someone might have walked past a statue for 20 years and never given it a second glance. In fact, most people don't look at statues. I happen to do this because I'm interested in, first of all, art, sculpture. Mm-hmm. Second of all, I'm interested in history. That makes me look and read the inscription on almost every statue I go past. And some of them I could care less about, and some of them I care a lot about. And it's not my job to go and decide which one other people should see and not. It's just this crazy idea that suddenly what's important to me needs to be important to everyone else. And the same thing applies to Don Lemon and to Damon's tweet. It's not good enough for me to say, Leon, apologize to me because I hate your movies. And who the fuck am I to complain about your movies? I must make him apologize to everyone else who might not be on board with me. But you just assume they are. It's this deep, deep, deep narcissism. Anyway, let's get to the headlines. Government has showcased over 200 infrastructure programs with 88 ready for investments. Cyril made a big speech last night. He said they need to bring in some money. You don't say. Because they want to, they're saying, bring in your money. We're going to build infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need to know about that story. No money has necessarily come in.
Who's he asking money from again?
Anyone who's willing to give. Warlords, China, the BRICS Bank, his sister's, his wife's family, whoever's got money, he's happy to take it from. Because at this point, we need whatever we take whatever we can get. Beggars can't be choosers.
He's got lots himself.
But right. Well, of course, Mbulelo, but... that's not why he went into politics. Remember, he didn't even pay for his own election campaign. He got Bosasa to pay for a part of it.
could Cyril have given a cool billion or not? Has he got as much of it?
He wouldn't even feel it.
Well, then he should have, man.
Yeah.
Well, does he still own all those McDonald's?
He doesn't. It's his money. He doesn't have to give it.
Is he a South African billionaire or a US dollar billionaire?
Not sure. Okay, power utility Eskom is urging people to use electricity sparingly because guess what? The system is still severely constrained. They said in a statement they unexpectedly lost 4 large units due to unplanned breakdowns. The breakdowns happened at a unit in Kendall, Majuba, and Letabo power stations. So expect that warning on the TV that says, beep, beep, beep. We are experiencing high demand at the moment. However it goes, yeah, it's ridiculous. And this is so interesting. So Botswana, talking about Cyril, Botswana has appointed AfriForum to represent the government of Botswana in a case involving Bridget Motsepe-Radebe. Now, she is Cyril's wife's sister. You want to know about nepotism? So the Botswana government has appointed AfriForum's private prosecution unit to represent it against Bridget Motsepe-Radebe.
Gerinel,
correct. Botswana media reports that Motsepe-Radebe is named as a co-signatory in at least 2 bank accounts holding some $10 billion allegedly taken from the Botswana government to finance terrorism. Motsepe-Radebe is also accused of funneling the money to Botswana to influence regime change. She has denied the allegations. Motsepe-Radebe is the wife of former Minister Jeff Radebe and President Cyril Ramaphosa's sister-in-law. Botswana's Director for Public Prosecutions, Stephen Tiroyagosi, says that they have been trying to get more information from those implicated. How's that for embarrassing?
Outrageous.
Outrageous.
Outrageous. There we go. We got 3 outrageous. Are we all outraged enough that we demanded an apology from Bridget?
Well, I'm shocked. I'm shocked at Leon Schuster.
Yeah, we go.
are you, Damon, are you Schuster shocked?
Yeah.
I'm Schuster shocked.
All right.
North Korea's, by the way, that guy, just to go back to him for a second, Leon Schuster, that gotcha comedy where he would take off the disguise and go, yeah, we got you. Oh shucks, it's Schuster or whatever. That stuff was pretty damn revolutionary, even though a lot of it is cheesy and stupid. Let's give credit where it's due. Now we're condemning him to the rubbish heap, but that genre didn't exist before him.
So we grew up living in the same rather large complex. So I'd see him every now and then.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he lives up the road from where we are. Well, up the main road past 4 ways there. Mm-hmm. And his movies actually don't do him justice, unfortunately. He's really funny. Like him as Leon in real life. I used to see him at the clubhouse quite often. like, he's hilarious. His movies are a different thing, then, maybe for somebody else.
He's even more of a genius because he dumbed it down for an audience he knew needed it dumbed down. Think about that. Give them what they want.
Gareth had him as a guest on 5FM years ago, and he was highly stressed, high anxiety. Mm. He was depressed.
Yeah,
it was quite interesting. He was exhausted because he was in the middle of a press junket, and sure, that's not. So we saw another side to him.
Well,
TV show, eh? Mm. What now? Or Well New?
Oh, by the way,
you think of calling it Well New?
By the way, we've got to wrap this up because Damon, you and Bulelo can carry on doing the show with Sia until like 7:30 because I have to go to the studio. We have to record something. Yesterday we had some issues with audio, and we have to go and record this morning at like 8:00. So that means I have to leave at 7:00.
Good golly!
I know.
Yeah,
it's a lot to think.
But I say, I think
yes.
This conversation all influences and informs the fact that we'll actually have Leon Schuster on the show tonight.
That's correct. So
really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll make sure he gives you a personal apology, Damon.
No, we'll just ask him why he's shocked, that's all.
We'll get to that then.
I'm sure. All right, Damon, people want an update on the cyst on your back that you told us about last time. I'm not particularly interested in this, but I got a lot of messages here from people who want to know about the cyst on your back, please.
Okay, so quick summary. Last time, this thing in my back like exploded full of pus, et cetera, et cetera. It's gone. Well, I had to give a recap in case people missed it. It's gone dormant. It's gone dormant, but 3 days ago, I scratched the scab off and a whole bunch of pus oozed out. And then since then, it's gone dormant again. But I think I will go to, I'm not going to go, I'll just go to my GP. There must be an ingrown hair. I think there's an ingrown hair. But thank you very much for your concern. Thank you very much for your concern.
What does your wife think about these cysts?
She loves the stuff.
She loves it. In fact, she was upset with me when I did it myself 2 or 3 days ago. She was disappointed. Why didn't I call her?
And then she
tried to squeeze it, and this is just blood, and she was so disappointed.
What a beautiful family activity.
Fatima says on the WhatsApp line, Damon is especially painful this morning. You're right on point, Gareth. A real apology would involve a tangible and possible action to redress the offense. Otherwise, it is meaningless and selfish, simply to unburden yourself. Talking about the Motsepes, says Chris, Mr. Motsepe is bidding to buy Comair. Can you smell some nepotism in the air? Stephen.
How is that nepotism? Who owns Comair?
No, but if your brother-in-law is the president of the country, and the country's been put into lockdown by the government, and that has ruined an airline, and now that airline's up for sale. It's just too convenient. I mean, it's not straightforward nepotism. It's Patrice seeing an opportunity, which he's entitled to do. And I don't think that this is a skullduggery of any kind. But it is taking advantage of a situation that your brother-in-law has created.
Or saving people's jobs and keeping an airline going.
Well, that might be out of the question anyway. Who knows what he's buying? He might just be buying the assets, Damon.
I get confused. Comair owns Kalula, right?
Yes, Kalula and British Airways in South Africa. They licensed to operate British Airways in South Africa. All right. Stefan says, hi, team. How is Leon Schuster's situation any different to all the comedians that joke and mock other races, including Trevor Noah?
Well, exactly. I hate it when people come up with this.
Let's not go down that path. What a stupid comparison.
How is it stupid?
Wait, why?
Because Trevor Noah is actually highly intelligent and highly talented.
And Leon's not.
Not in the same league as Trevor Noah.
Oh, so if someone's clever, they're allowed to be racist.
He's not being racist.
Well, that's ultimately the conclusion of your argument.
Nah, sorry. His stuff is actually clever, and he's actually making social commentary. Clever, he's making clever, relevant social commentary. Leon Schuster's movies never made clever social commentary.
You haven't watched them. You said you haven't watched them.
Of course I've watched them.
So then how do you know? But you just told us. Hold on, Damon. You told us earlier you never watched them.
Okay. No, he said he didn't like them.
Okay. Leon Schuster has probably made 20 movies in his life, right? Maybe slightly less, somewhere around there, right? So obviously I've been exposed to some of his movies. I don't sit and watch his movies obsessively. So the last movie I watched was almost 20 years ago.
And you've watched all of Trevor Noah's work, he's ever done, and you know that he's cleverer than Leon Schuster, but he's definitely not offensive. It's just amazing how, like, you've got two sets of standards going on in your head. Amazing. So I want to know how you reconcile that when you go to sleep at night. Maybe that's what what forms a cyst on your back is this cognitive dissonance. No.
Now, what is cognitive dissonance? What does it even mean?
Okay, you said it wrong.
Cognitive dissonance.
You said, can Damon, here we go, listen to this. Here's someone who says, can Damon shut his mouth already? Well, that's why we invited him on, everybody. So he mustn't shut up. Hadmin says, Damon, you have to rinse that cyst with peroxide like we do abscesses in cattle.
Sure.
Or white guy's hair in 1999 in Standard 5.
You've got to go to the roots of the problem, and I think it's an ingrown hair. It has to be properly excised.
According to Sean, who's just sent me this article from the Daily Telegraph in Sydney, the game of chess is racist because the white people go first. You cannot make this shit up, but it's an actual story someone has written, and they're very serious that chess is racist and that we should abolish chess.
That's very silly.
In Australia?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, but it's written in Australia, but it could just as well have been written in Minnesota or in Johannesburg or in London. It's stupid wherever it was written. Let's just cancel life. Oh, here's a good suggestion. This is from Nikki. Okay, Nikki says, let's just cancel everything. This shit's gone so far as I'm concerned. All of this, right on top of a pandemic. Let's learn from history. No apologies. Move on to a peaceful future. We can't change the older generation because their life happened. Can't be erased. What we can do is move forward. Teach our future generation a little bit better. Can Damon please send out an apology? I'm highly offended by his pus.
That wasn't his intention. So
exactly, wasn't my intention. Thank you, Mbulelo.
Well.
Sorry, Nikki, you're not going to get an apology out of Damon. I'm enjoying Damon this morning, despite his cognitive dissonance. That comes from Kerry.
Are you going to make me Google cognitive dissonance now?
Dissonance. Okay, so you know what resonance is, right? It's when you have harmony in music. Resonance is what happens when things are cooperating in a meaningful and a what would you say
harmonious.
A productive way. Yeah. And it's creating positive things. It's making stuff. It's generative, as opposed to dissonance. Dissonance means breaking down, and it means essentially that you have two ideas in your head that are not able to live side by side. So if I say to you, water is good and water is poisonous, and I have both of those ideas in my head at the same time. Now, they can't both be true. Either water is good or it's poisonous.
Okay,
If I'm stupid enough to be able to convince myself that water is poisonous and water is good can both live side by side in my head, I'm suffering from something called cognitive dissonance. And it's something and it's not stupid people only, because a lot of smart people have two ideas which they don't realize are non-mutually overlapping magisteria. There are two things that they hold two opinions which actually destroy each other. They annihilate each other, but they hold them both, and they think that they can both live harmoniously. They can't.
Or the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes, especially as relating to behavioral decisions and attitude change.
There we are. Didn't I say that more or less?
Yeah, you said it better, actually.
All right, well, listen, I'm going to have to clear out of here. You guys look after the show for the next hour. And we will be back tomorrow morning, bright and early at 6 o'clock. But Bulelo and Damon and Sia will take care of you until 7:30. We've got an interesting interview with these guys who've developed a new product, which they say is much healthier. Damon, do you also find that these hand sanitizers, they dry your hands out?
I don't use them enough.
You don't go to the shops?
Exactly. I go to the shops, but I'm only going to the shops once every 3 or 4 days or once every second day. So I'm only using them.
But that's more than me. I haven't been to the shops for a week and a half.
Oh, dear. No. We are big consumers. So I don't think I wash it enough to dry my hands out. No.
Well, a lot of people complain that the alcohol in the hand sanitizer just dries them out. And these guys have come up with something new, which they say will make it much easier for you to keep your hands clean, and it can basically minimize your risk of exposure to viruses and bacteria and all kinds of other things. Are there any other ugly personal problems you want to throw in before I leave?
Soap and water.
Oh, Lord.
I've just got a terrible headache this morning.
Sorry.
I think I slept funny. My drop foot has gone worse. I'm walking I've been fucked by a train.
You've started drinking every night.
I'm not drinking every night. Gin and tonic. Oy. And vodka and cranberry juice.
Oi. Okay.
Where does this come from?
My wife Bernice suggested it, and it's making us more relaxed. Yeah.
Sure. And you're not overdoing. You're not having like a bottle. You're just having one drink.
No. Okay. No. One drink, sometimes two.
Okay.
It's what it is in the past, other alcohol has just made me feel groggy and horrible. I found that the gin and tonic doesn't do that. For some reason, gin and tonic actually is just stuck a bit, makes you a bit more relaxed. And I read up that gin is relatively okay. It's not too bad on the blood glucose levels. It's the more healthy alcohol. Not as healthy as whiskey, not as good as whiskey, but not as bad as beer and other alcohols.
Look at you with this dignified palate all of a Saturday.
I like it, Damon. This is very good. All right. Have an awesome day in the company of Damon, Mbulelo, and Sia. I have to rush off to the studios. We've got to record some stuff. We had a couple of technical issues yesterday. So this is for the TV show. And don't forget to watch it tonight on ENCA. That's channel 403 at 8:30. And don't forget today also, Tito Mboweni is going to table his emergency budget, where he's going to try to get money together to deal with all the after effects of COVID. And good luck to him, because it's going to be a hell of a task. Tito Mboweni's obviously doing some mental arithmetic and trying to figure out with his team at the Department of Finance how we can pay South Africa through the next couple of months. Because like any of the businesses in this country that are dealing with the after effects of COVID, money is a very, very difficult subject and it's in short supply. So we've all got to find ways to stretch it a little bit further. Good luck to Tito today as he tries to get through that. All right, cool. I'll see you later. 24 hours. CliffCentral.com